You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friska. This message was recorded on April 22nd and is titled, The Will of God. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Let me tell you around here, when I die, y'all, you just know that my name's in that book, okay? So y'all don't pray for God to let me in. He had already told me I was coming in. I'm already in. I'm in. Okay? So don't do anything crazy. You don't have to pay anybody any money to get me on through there. You ain't got to rub nothing. You ain't got to set nothing on fire. Just I'm in. Okay? All right? So we're good. I want everybody to know that. And I hope you guys all live in that same way. You know you're in. Know it. Well, guess what? If you're in, then you can believe. Because all things are possible. All things are possible. It's possible to be happy. It's possible to be satisfied. It's possible to not be fearful. It's possible to get through the other side of any situation. It's possible to find peace in the middle of the wreck. It's all possible. Thank you, Jesus. It is possible for it to rain in Bailey County while the sun's shining. Think that's hail? Good, it's wet. It's over 32 degrees. It'll melt. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So, we'll get to Murph. Are we about ready for Murph's? Okay. We're good. But I just want to encourage you with that because, you know the truth of the matter is we're called to evangelize the world. We tried it with our words. We've tried it by promoting a heaven that nobody can see. We tried it by creating fear of hell that nobody's been to yet. What if we were intentional about our everyday living? Do we live as a convincing proof that Jesus Christ rose from the grave as our sacrificed, risen Savior and King? Do we live that way? I'm not talking about not making mistakes or being human. I'm talking about living with faith that creates extreme hopeful expectation. Not judging by man's flesh. What comes out of a man? Do we even sound like Christians? For the last 100 years, have you ever invited anybody to the kingdom of God, or you just invite them to church so somebody can tell them about the kingdom of God? Have you ever been so peculiar in public that somebody asked you why you're such a weirdo? Why are you so happy all the time? Why? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe you can actually do that? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, Jesus talks to me every day, all day, every day. We do this all day, every day. Is that the will of God? To do this all day, every day? Or is it the will of God to check the boxes? If the box checking helps you do this all day, every day, great. But there's more to it than that. So, anyhow, we're going to talk about that tonight. No singing? You sang Sunday night, so we're not singing tonight. Boy, I'm always the first to get the news. Well, we're going to listen to the rain. How about we just listen to the rain? How about we teach for just a minute, get us just enough to go on, and let's just enjoy rain on a tin roof tonight, get out here a little early. We've been doing this a lot. How many of y'all believe the last 5 weeks I have fed the whole bale of hay every week? Y'all about full? Everybody about full? Okay, let's pray and let's do this. Lord Jesus, I have my eyes open, my ears open. I want to thank you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I don't know what else to do other than praise the Lord. I don't have anything to ask for. I don't have anything to pray for. I just want to say, thank you, Jesus. Here in a minute, we'll be on a scripture about that. That's what comes out of your mouth. I mean, we just today, and I'm not going into a bunch of personal stuff, but another Passover moment today that I got invited to, that we've talked about in private, have never shared anything, something we had hoped for, something we thought would be really neat for our family and how it all goes and our business and this, that, and the other. Sit down to eat two eggs, and it happens. I mean, happens just like that. Plumb easy, and everybody in agreement. This is Spirit-led living. It's not just being bumped around by circumstance. But listening to God and being thankful and enjoying where you're at. Going somewhere. Where are you going? Man, sitting still is stagnant. Where are you headed? What do you got on your mind? What's in your heart? Don't skip your plans because you're afraid you'll miss church. Go do what you're going to do. Ask God how to do it. Lay it all down in front of him and say, Lord, what do you think of this? And he'll tell you. And I promise you, the observance of Passover pleases my Heavenly Father. And in that, there's results that happen we didn't even ask for. So tonight, I want to start out in the book of Matthew in a very familiar place. I was laying there last night when we went to bed last night with... We were so tired. We had a team roping Monday night down at Leveland. Something we felt led to do is start producing these team ropings. And it's really good. I mean, we had a whole room full of college kids in there. We get to pray over them while we're there. I pray every time. We sing the national anthem. We just promote things. We set a good example while we're there. Do a really good job putting on the roping. Do you know the only downside to a Monday night roping at Leveland? Tuesday morning Bible study. Boy, that little gap of sleep in there gets a little bit short. But so last night, Robin and I were pooped. And we laid down to go to bed there early. And I just laid down and I said, Lord, I don't even know where I'm supposed to take off tomorrow. And I went to sleep saying the Lord's Prayer. And I woke up this morning saying the Lord's Prayer. And I knew that's where I was supposed to begin. And when I opened my Bible and I read just a little bit, I understood that we are now in the Feast of Weeks. We'll talk about this a lot over the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks. But the Feast of Weeks is what immediately follows Passover. It's leading to Shavuot, leading to Pentecost. Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, the one-time filling of the universe where mankind gained full access to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come. And so when you read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, just two pieces of it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when you go up to the front of this, he's talking about praying and the ones standing in the synagogue and using all their big fancy words and then those who pray in secret. But he said, therefore, in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. We've talked about that a lot here. My Father knows what I need. He also knows what I want. But he said he would supply every need according to his glorious riches. That's what the Bible says. Well, what do you need? I need a boat. I need a boat. to absolutely get quality time with my grandsons away from a horse, away from an arena, away from adult instruction. You know, adult instruction interferes with me and them's fun time. Grown-ups really mess up a lot of fun. But in order to find some rest and enjoyment in my family, I need a boat. When's the last time you heard a preacher tell you that? Now, I didn't stand around praying for a boat, and I didn't send out a newsletter telling y'all to pray for a boat because I need a boat. Nobody knew I needed a boat. Me and God knew I needed a boat. He also gave me an opportunity to work, so I work hard. He gave me some wisdom how to take care of my money, so when it came time to buy a boat, and I found a boat that we all wanted, the boat, and when she sees the boat and says, this is the boat I want, there's enough money there to buy the boat, so we'll buy the boat. That's spirit-led living. Yeah, that's not nothing wonky, nothing crazy. I mean, y'all heard me the other day. I got off my little green tractor that was just grunting and spitting out both ends trying to move this 42 million acres of sand I got piled up everywhere. And so I sat on that little thing, and it's like trying to eat a bowl of ice cream with a toothpick. And I peck away at it for two solid hours out there, and I look around, and I ain't got nowhere, Rodney. I'm telling you, I ain't got nowhere. And my tractor is grunting now. It's just hollering calf rope. And I get off of that, and I walk to the house, told Robin, I said, get in the truck. We're going to town. I got to have a skid steer. I didn't have enough money for a skid steer. Or I didn't want to have enough money for a skid steer. Suckers are high. Do you know I fooled around and got the perfect skid steer, and I didn't even know which one was which? I never had one, so I didn't know what I was doing. But I kind of went away. I ended up going against the grain of what people told me, and I ended up, what I got was absolutely perfect. I got a brand new skid steer the other day that I could have sold for $5,000 profit when I got it home. I could have made $5,000. How do you do that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I know what you need before you ever ask. There are things in my life that I need to live life to the full, take care of my property, take care of my family, take care of my personal desires, take care of my mental state. Let me tell you something, people. If I didn't rope and go to the barn and ride the skid steer, I'd preach you plumb into oblivion now. You better be glad I got something else to do, because I would drive you plumb out the cotton picking building the first 2 weeks. My head would explode. And maybe I'm the weird one. But it gets worse when you're 65. Now that I'm a fat guy on Medicare, it gets different. Because this life I've been trying to live to the full, the end gate's getting closer than it used to be. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to get left out of anything. So I'm not going to let my religion mess it up. That's why if I don't want to be here, I'll be somewhere else. Same way y'all do it. Isn't that how y'all do it? I hope so. If you want to be somewhere else, please be there. If you need to be somewhere else, don't think God's sitting around giving you brownie points for sitting around listening to me today. He'll give you brownie points for going outside and doing what this thing says. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The problem in America today is we've got a Christianity that believes the kingdom is somewhere else. That's why thousands and thousands and thousands of people today are still praying for a man to get in the gate. They don't know where the gate is. You can't find the gate if you're talking to his mom. The gate is Jesus, according to John 10. His mom's not the gate. He's the gate. If you hadn't found the gate, you hadn't found the kingdom. If you hadn't found the kingdom, you'll stand around doing dumb stuff that God doesn't want any of us doing. That's not the will of God to be that ignorant. I don't care how religious you are or how tall your hat is. I don't care. The will of God is to not be that ignorant. That's the truth. And so he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name's higher and holier than anybody's name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is the will of God? I'm just going to go to two places in Scripture. There's about 60 that you can go kind of tie things all together. Let me ask you before I go to the first one. Why do you think Pentecost happened? Why do you think God poured His Spirit out on the whole earth? Any ideas? I mean, we all know it happened. Some of us has actually realized it. But why? Why? Did you ever think that by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who is God, you know, God is Spirit. He has been the whole time. He put on our clothes for a little while because we needed help. So, why would you ascend into heaven and then just open heaven and pour it all out? Did you ever think that maybe God wanted to be near to you so you could realize you could be near to Him? Huh? That's the way it was in the beginning. That you be near to Him because He's already made Himself near to you. But in Christianity, we've preached a God that's far off. A God that you only attained after death. Therefore, we made Christianity all about dying. And pretty soon, you tell things so backwards that we become extremely ignorant. The will of God is not for you to be ignorant. The will of God is for you to be wise. Wisdom makes good choices. Good choices lead to good options and lead to fruitfulness and productivity and all those different things. But wisdom, He didn't want us to remain ignorant. So did our religion from the beginning, after we got established in different churches and stemming out of one particular outfit for sure, did our religion hold us captive or set us free? Which one? Did Jesus come so we could be held captive? Or did He come to set us free? Free to what, Roy? Free to what? What are we free to do? Live. What is the will of God? Is it not to live? There's zero glory in your dying. The truth of the matter is, nobody knows where you go. We've trained preachers to lie about it all the time, guess at it all the time. But there's a book with people's names in it, and I have not got past the F's. So I don't know about the S's. I'm a pretty good fruit inspector, got a pretty good idea, extremely hopeful for a lot of you. But the absolute truth of the matter is, we've been selling an idea that we know absolutely nothing about. I can't tell you what heaven looks like. I can't tell you what hell looks like. I can tell you what the Bible says about both. But I've never been to either place. But yet that's been the promotion of Christianity. You walk in any third grade in America and say, look, heaven is such a glorious place. Man, there's just angels and candy bars and stuff everywhere. I mean, it's just awesome. But hell is dark, screaming, hot, demons. It's terrible. Now, how many of you little kids want to go to heaven? Well, you just got to believe in Jesus and you'll go to heaven. Okay. I believe in Jesus. Hey, good news for everybody. We had 200 of them get saved today. Really? Nobody told you about Jesus. Nobody told you that you could talk to Jesus before a track meet. Because the preacher's been telling you ought not go to him if they're on Sunday afternoon. That you can, if you're a little scared, you're at the football game. A lot of you remember this one. You're in your school. You're at the football game. You've made it to district. Now all of a sudden you're the right tackle. And you've been hitting all the little short guys in West Texas now for a while. All of a sudden there's a big fat guy shows up. And he's got bad breath and he's right across from you. And you're supposed to knock him down for the next four quarters. You're supposed to handle this guy. And all of a sudden, you're afraid. Now, you ain't going to tell all your buddies you're afraid. You ain't going to tell your coach you're afraid. You sure ain't going to tell your dad you're afraid. I wonder if anybody ever told anybody in Sunday school that while you're on a football field, you could tell Jesus you're afraid. Or the day your old show pig wants to lay down, you know, pigs go to a show looking for a place to die. They think that stock shows are funeral homes. They'll quiver and freeze up and all kinds of... Oh, you know, you can't even eat them after they do that. It's not good. So I wonder how many little kids have learned that while you're in the midst of a little bit of a wreck, that you can talk to Jesus about a show pig. Did you know that? You know, that's your witness. I know a girl today and I don't know anything about her walk with the Lord. I'm hoping it's really good and there's a good chance. But I know any day you could walk up to this young lady now that's got children of her own and say, hey, tell me about God and Barney. Because Barney was at a High Plains Junior Rodeo and he was trying real hard to die. And she ran in the stands and got me and a couple other guys. She said, you got to come pray for Barney. You know where she learned that? Hang around a little cowboy church at a rodeo where people were doing cowboy stuff on a Sunday. But she heard testimonies and she heard the truth of the gospel just out of mere ordinary men. And this little girl ran in the stands and she said, Barney's really sick. So we trotted out to the trailer and Barney was completely covered in foam. He was colicking, the worst I ever saw. He was drawn up, his flanks were cut up. I mean, he's just stiff. While I had my hands on Barney, the lather dried up. He dried up in less time than it's taken me to tell this story. He dried up. And she rode Barney that night. And she rode him every weekend after that. I don't know what happened to Barney. I'm sure the process of life, he finally died of old age. But I'd be curious how many people experienced Jesus on a ski trip with the group or at a horse trailer in the midst of the disaster. Get my point? It's called spirit-led living. That's all day, every day. That's everywhere you're at. It happens all the time. You never hear me stand up here and say too much about testimony, stuff like that, but it is. I'm telling you, it's all day. I shared one with Murph today, and he said, well, it's every day. Every day. God reveals himself to somebody in everything, but in my personal life, it's the little stuff. The little stuff the things that I need, the things that I just need to live. And then all of a sudden a big thing will come that we've hoped for. We've never even prayed about it. We've never sat down and actually said a prayer about any of it. Just talking. Do you know that God is so near that you can just talk about things out loud and He knows it? That you don't have to bow your head. You don't have to shut your eyes. You don't even have to finish your sentence within the name of Jesus. I'm already in the name of Jesus. I pray that way because it's a habit I got a long time ago, and it just feels good, so I don't change it.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.